Sing number one, Almost Persuaded Now to Believe. Lemoyne?
Almost persuaded.
This song, as we sang it, sounded like a funeral dirge. Should. If you're almost persuaded and you were to die into your sins, part of what the suffering of hell is going to be is remembering how close all the opportunities you had. In that great judgment day when God brings all men before Him that have been lost in their sins and they go through their lives, they're going to see all the different opportunities that they had, and yet they said no. And to be close and not come all the way, it ought to be a funeral dirge to sing in connection with that. I've said sometimes at the beginning of a gospel meeting that I'm uniquely qualified to preach the gospel because I'm a sinner that was saved by grace. And now, not a sinner, God doesn't see me that way anymore. Yes, I do sin, and so do you if you know the Lord is your Savior. But God doesn't see me that way anymore. He sees me as a son, as a child. I've been brought into great blessing. If you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior tonight, you have no part in that. Your future is bleak and dark, and there's nothing in front of you but darkness. You know, one of my exercises whenever I have the opportunity to preach the gospel where most of the people in the room are Christians, I am concerned about the children and young people, because it was true of me as I grew up in a Christian home. I got so used to hearing the gospel, it was almost like I was immune to it. I could have told you how to be saved, but I was not yet saved. Because the message of the gospel is a story about a person. And a lot of people know the story or something about it. They know that Jesus was born in Bethlehem's manger, and Christmas time they hear about that. And maybe around Easter time they might go to church or hear about that. And they know something about the story. And if you've grown up in a Christian home, you know the story. And you might even say, if somebody asked you, is the story true? Well, yes, you might even defend it and say that it's true. But you know, there's an interesting part of the gospel. That word believe has in it the word, has in it the thought, and the word faith has in it trust. If you believe that a story is true about the Lord Jesus, then you must believe that what He says is true. Like that He will forgive your sins. like that he will make you his child, like he'll do all the promises that he said he would do. Because if you believe what he says, that's the crux of the gospel. But the Lord Jesus, in the gospel message, wants us to believe the story. And then he wants us to trust in him. He's a person. When Paul talked about preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified, he was preaching a person. It wasn't a formula. It wasn't just pray this prayer and you got it. Or do this thing or get baptized in this and that. Or whatever else people come up with. It was trusting a person to do what he said he would do. We were talking earlier about how the Lord Jesus, when he was on the cross, had a thief on each side. And the story of the two thieves, both of them cast into his face mockery, it says in the scriptures. One on the left and one on the right. They agreed with the crowd. Apparently they weren't in a lot of pain yet. But somewhere in that, as time passed, one of the thieves was awakened. One thief starts again to mock the Lord Jesus, and the other one says, you know, stop. We deserve what we're getting, but this man is innocent. He turns to the Lord Jesus and he says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. We were talking as we chatted about this story and saying, nobody told him to pray a certain prayer or to do a certain thing a certain way or think a certain thing. He just knew that that was the Lord, and he asked him to remember him. He came believing and trusting in that person who was right there. He went from mocking him to trusting in him. He got everything that comes with it. Sometimes people are hesitating in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior because they don't know enough, or they think they need to know more. Michael Bruce, young man from Iowa, scientist, weather meteorologist, thought he knew everything, and he believed in evolution and all of that, but he kept hearing the gospel. And he loved a young Christian girl. Had the opportunity to talk to him and share the gospel with him at one part during his journey. But he did get saved, and he told me, he said, you know, one of the things that was hanging me up was I knew science, and I knew that this Bible was wrong about this stuff about evolution, because I knew evolution was true, but the Bible said something different. But he said, there came a day where I couldn't deny the message of the gospel. I knew it was true. And I knew if I didn't do something about it, I would die in my sins and I would enter a lost eternity. And whatever hell was, I would go there. I didn't know what it was. I'd heard a lot of things. But he said, I just said, okay, I know this is true. I think this is wrong. But I can put that over here. I'll figure that out later. And he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he got saved. He later married that young lady. Went on to follow the Lord. But something was holding him back. What's holding you back? In the room in the back when we prayed, Brother Lemoyne mentioned this verse, Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9. After Adam and Eve have sinned, you remember in this account in Genesis, the Lord walked with them in the garden. The Lord Jesus took form and walked in the garden with these two people every day. Now one day comes and they hide. And the Lord Jesus, who I believe this was, the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? You think the Lord didn't know where they were? Oh, I can't find you. You're hiding someplace. Of course he knew. It was for them. Where are you? You're not where you were yesterday, walking with me in the garden. Where are you? So if you're a young person in a Christian home and you're used to hearing the gospel, I hope something breaks through and I want to ask you, where are you? Just think, you could be in a Christian home. I grew up with 8 brothers and sisters. Just imagine being in a family like that, at whatever size your family is. And everybody in the family is saved, but you're not. Where are you? Your mom and dad, your brothers and sisters are on the inside. And you're on the outside. And if you were to die in that condition, you would remain on the outside. You probably sang the song, "Are you in the inside or in the outside?" in Sunday school. Well, which side are you? Where art thou? The Bible talks about people who are lost in their sins as being lost. So what is being lost? It means you don't know where you're at. If you get lost, you don't know where you are. God says, "Where art thou?" My question to you is, where art thou? Are you lost? This is the GPS unit. Punch in the coordinates and it'll take you to the right place. Punch in the coordinates to John 3:16. That'll take you to the right place. You know, people have been throughout their lives at different times convicted, had their conscience stirred up maybe, and they've heard lots of gospel verses. And then something comes along one day and some obscure verse will break through and they'll come to know the Lord as their Savior. But like I said earlier, if you're a child in a Christian home and you've gotten used to the gospel, that scares me. If the Lord came tonight, you'd be left behind. I saw a YouTube video where there's a guy preaching the gospel, and I know they created it. But all of a sudden, everybody disappears like that, and there's just a couple people sitting in the audience. All the Bibles fall to the floor. That could happen. Where art thou? You would think that having heard about the Lord Jesus, all his attributes, how lovely he is, how kind he is, everything about him, that you would want to run there. But we have something in us that we inherited from Adam and Eve. The moment in this chapter when they ate of the fruit and they disobeyed God, that thing inside of them broke and they fell. And you inherited that from your mom and dad, and they did from their mom and dad all the way back to Adam and Eve. You're broken inside. We were born broken. But what Jesus did on the cross offers the fix for all of that. Not only the brokenness of our hearts and our inner person, the brokenness for our bodies. A couple of us were talking about some of the sick saints that are maybe on the last days. You know, every single person is going to be healed, either now or later, because you've been promised a brand new body someday. One without sickness and illness. Can you imagine dying in your sins? You get a new body too. Now you can't die. Not in a physical way. Now you exist in a place called the lake of fire for eternity. And guess who your companions will be? Demons and the devil. And every vicious, vile creature that's ever walked the face of the earth that has not repented and trusted in Christ will be in that place. Do you want to go there? Why would you? Come to Jesus. Answer that question. Where art thou? Lord, I'm over here. I'm lost. Come get me. I know, as our brother was saying, there's so many things that come at us. You know, from the time we were in school, things were bad, but they're worse. There are things that come at us from all directions. We're surrounded by confusion. We're surrounded by darkness. It's coming in. It's creeping in. The light is growing dim. We should rage against the dying of the light, not as the poet intended, but against the dying of the light of the gospel. We should stand and declare it. You know, darkness is not a thing of itself. Darkness is the absence of light. The darker the room, a little teeny candle can brighten up. If you closed all the windows and shut everything and shuttered it and put blankets over the windows and lit a tiny little candle in here, it would be spectacular. So the light of the gospel is being given in your life every day if you're in a Christian home. By the witness of your parents, perhaps your brothers and sisters. Every time you come to Sunday school, every time you go to meeting, perhaps on the radio, perhaps on tapes or CDs. The gospel, the light of the gospel. Almost persuaded? Well, let's come on in all the way. Three young men didn't have much to do. Two of them had been raised under the gospel. Third one, not so much. But companions nonetheless like to drink, carouse. They decided that they would have some fun, and there was an evangelist in town. And they would go sit in the back and heckle the evangelist who was preaching the gospel. So they did that. Got a big kick out of it. And they went down to the local bar, bragging about it. They had so much fun, they decided to do it again. They went back. This night, the preacher was preaching on the wrath of God. And how the Lord Jesus, for those who trusted in Him, had drank that cup of the wrath of God to the last drop, so that you don't have to have. But if you do not trust Him as your Savior, you will drink that cup. Three young men come back from that. The two that had been raised under the gospel, a little bit sobered by it, but still going to the bar, having some drinks. They go in. The one young man walks up to the bartender. He says, "Bartender, give me a cup of the wrath of God." The whole place went silent. Even hardened sinners in the place, that was a little much. Those two young men, it was a little much. The bartender hesitated and then finally poured him his usual drink. He slammed it back and fell down dead, right in his tracks. Those two young men were back at that gospel meeting the next day. They got saved. You mess around with the opportunity you have, the grace of God extended to you. In this country, we talked earlier about the difficulties in some of the countries around the world, like Egypt and other Arab countries where Christians are really suffering. And if you get saved in some of these lands, it might be a death sentence. Certainly, if ISIS were to find out about you and you're anywhere near where they're at, they'll come for you. But those people, when they die, they get promoted. They graduate. They leave this suffering world and they go to a place to be with their Savior. I was listening to a radio program where they were talking about what heaven would be like. And they were talking about this and that aspect they thought it would be like. And one person spoke up, a lady. She said, "You know, heaven is being with the Lord Jesus. That's what I'm looking forward to. More than any of these other things that we think that the scriptures tell us about what heaven will be like. Being with Him." We sing that song in the little flock. There is a name that sounds like music to our ear. Let me ask you, does the name of Jesus sound like music to your ear? Or does it just make you feel guilty? When you hear that name, does it make you smile? Where art thou? You know, it's a solemn thing. Every parent in here that has children that's not sure if one of their children knows the Lord is anguished by that thought. And I guarantee you that their prayers at night are that their little ones will come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior and that they will know about it. If you trusted in the Lord Jesus as your Savior and you've never told anybody, go and tell your mom and dad first. They would love to know that you have. I see some nodding heads. You know, I had trouble with understanding some things about the gospel. Even though I could have said it, I could have told you how to be saved. I had problems with the idea of what belief meant, what faith meant, what trust meant, all of those things that are tied up in that. I had problems with that. One of my favorite stories I've told many times, I've told it one-on-one and in gospel meetings, is about Mr. Walenda, the Walenda that started it all, going way back, I think, to the 1800s. He used to do a tightrope walk And he would challenge the crowd. There were two challenges he made. One was he'd take a wheelbarrow with sandbags in it onto the tightrope, and he would invite people to get in the wheelbarrow. But he would pump them up by saying, you know, would you like me to take a man in this? Yeah, we'd like to see that. But when he said he'd invite people to come, nobody came. Over the years, he made the invitation. Nobody ever came. Finally, one year, he talked one of his assistants into going on his back at a piggyback ride, and he took him across. I remember that story and others similar to that getting in my heart that believing on the Lord Jesus Christ was about trusting Him. I'm trusting that what He's telling me is the truth. I'm trusting that the story is true. I'm trusting that He'll save me and wash away my sins. I'm trusting Him to do what He said and He promised He'd do. Will He do it? I asked a young man once who was doubting his salvation. He'd been saved for a while. I was 99.9% He was the Lord's. I knew Him well. Had the opportunity to lead him to the Lord in the gospel. But he'd had some dreams where in his dream he was challenged by a demon. He said he rebuked the demon and he wouldn't go away. The demon said to him in the dream, I don't have to because you're not saved. Imagine having a dream like that. Scare living daylights out of you. So he came to me and he told me about the dream. And he said, now I'm not sure if I'm saved. I said to him, well, right now, Kenny Arnell, remember Kenny? I said, Kenny, is the Lord Jesus trustworthy? So all you young people, if you don't know the Lord yet, is the Lord Jesus trustworthy? Is He? Can He be trusted? Then trust Him. Just do it. Lord Jesus, I trust You. Like the thief on the cross, Lord, remember me. You get salvation and everything that comes with it. Not only does Christianity, true Christianity, promise you heaven and eternal life, but it promises you that you can have joy and peace here now, even if you're in the darkest place. When Paul and Silas were in prison, how could they sing? Because they knew something, and they had someone in their heart that gave them a song. Scripture tells us that the Lord can give us a song in the night. That's supernatural. Don't you want to live like that? The peace of God which passes all understanding. That's supernatural. My plant manager on the night shift where I used to work years ago was a guy by the name of Les Bentley. He was an atheist, and he hated us Christians, and he used to harass us all the time. But he got cancer in his throat. The only people who visited him in the hospital, except a couple of people one time, were us hated Christians. Kenny Arnell, or Kenny Kettleson, witnessed to him a lot. He called me one day, his wife called, said, can you come over to the house? And he had the same problem I did as a little boy. Do you think the Lord knows what He's doing? I read it, I'm seeing it, I'm not sure what that means. And I remember the words of my mother as a little boy saying, if God says it and I believe it, that settles it for me. It's settled anyway, but for me. And I started with that, and we went and read the scriptures one by one, went through it. Tears started coming down his face. I said, let's go in the living room and kneel down, and you just tell the Lord what's in your heart. Just trust Him. He will do what He promised. Do you believe what it says? Yes, I do. Then tell Him. We knelt down together. We all three wept together. His wife had been a Christian for many, many years. He'd been an atheist all those years. She had suffered under a cruel hand with him. And now she watched her husband get saved. Is there anything too hard for God? No. he trusted in the Lord as his Savior that day. A few weeks go by, he calls me again. He says, Sam, I need to talk to you. He says, I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow, and they're going to tell me if the cancer's back. He said, if the cancer's back, I can't take it, Sam. I'm going to take my .45 caliber pistol, I'm going to put it in my mouth, and I'm going to pull the trigger. He said, I can't take it. What do you do when somebody tells you that? I said, remember, Les, what I told you? Either this is true or it isn't. So I showed him that verse about the peace of God which passes all understanding. And I said, Les, we're going to pray together, and this is the truth. You trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Now trust Him to do this. So no matter what happens tomorrow when you go in there, you trust Him to give you this peace of God which passes all understanding. And He will do it. Went to the doctor. He calls me on the phone. I'm anxious. It was Tuesday night. I called the brothers and said, pray in the prayer meeting. People prayed for him. Next day he calls me. He said, Sam, it's amazing. This doctor told me the cancer's back. And what you said happened. I was just filled with peace. Don't you want reality like that in your life? That's the supernatural touching us. I wept with him, but I was filled with joy at the same time because my God showed up just like he promised. There's two scriptures that are almost identical. One says, he that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And the one like it says, he that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When people pray and ask the Lord Jesus to save them, they're saved before they begin the prayer, if it's in truth, because they have believed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Not maybe. So you can believe about Him. You can believe that the story is true, but believing on Him and in Him is different. Some of you have heard me give the gospel before, heard me use this illustration too. We have such terrible divided politics in this country. But when we have a political election, like you have two people running for president, this last election we had Hillary Clinton and we had Donald Trump. If you went in the street anywhere and asked people, do you believe that such a person exists as Hillary Clinton? People would look at you like you're crazy. Of course she does. She's on the news all the time. Her husband was president. They'd tell you this. Some of them may even say they met her. Same thing about Donald Trump. Of course, the guy's been around forever. Now ask him a second question. Who do you trust? Different answers. Oh, I don't trust that no good guy. I don't trust that locker up Hillary thing. Now you get two different answers. Who do you trust? Who do you believe in? That's the difference. That's salvation. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I trust in you. That's salvation. Just believe in the story. You know, the scripture says the devils believe and tremble. They know God exists. It's not about that. Never has been. But if you don't know exists, how do you go the rest of the way? Anthony Flew is a famous atheist who passed away recently. He wrote tons of books defending his atheistic view. He held a news conference a few years back. And he said, I can no longer hold to my view as an atheist because I've always said I will follow the evidence where it leads. And science is now proven through genetics and the genome projects that go on that there is information like a computer program in our genes. And that cannot happen without a designer. I believe there is a God. Now that's not salvation. But he had to get there to get to the next place. He passed away here a couple years ago. I hope he got saved. But he made one step further. He wrote a book that where he kind of examined. He said, of all the gods that are presented on this earth, the one that makes the most sense is the Christian God. That's still not salvation. But he was honest. That's partway there. And that's a step closer. I hope he came all the way. I hope he wasn't just one of these that was almost persuaded. Because all the damage he did with all the books he wrote that had persuaded young minds in colleges and universities to turn their back on God, he's going to feel the suffering of that in hell if he didn't trust the Savior. I hope he did. Where art thou? I hope that man is in heaven, that he trusted the Lord Jesus before he died. You know, Steve Jobs, one of the most famous men on the earth, technology, all the things he invented with Apple computer, kind of a vicious character in some ways, brilliant genius, hard on people, even his own family. Took drugs, LSD, went over, studied Eastern religion, mixed up in all kinds of things, brilliant man. When he got cancer towards the end of his life, he talked to a lot of different people. And I understand he talked to some Christians. When he lay dying on his bed, his family was there, and they say he raised up at the last moment and said, oh, wow. I hope that means that in those last hours he trusted the Savior. I hope it was a wonderful oh, wow, not a oh, wow. Where art thou? If I ask people that I know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, they would say, I'm in Christ. In fact, my life is hidden there. I told a young man the other day, I was at an appointment, I was early, and next door it says they do blood tests for hepatitis C. So I walked in there and I said, you know, I've been wanting to get a blood test for hepatitis C because I see all these ads about it that if you're a baby boomer, 4 out of 10 or something have it. He says, yeah, okay. So I got an hour, so they did the test. It was free. But here's why the Lord had me there an hour early. The young man I was talking to, I'm sitting, he asked me questions, filled out a form, and he mentions that he grew up in a preacher's home. And right away, the Lord just, I knew that he was a homosexual. I knew that something had happened. I just knew. And he then went on to say that, you know, his daddy did not appreciate his lifestyle. Now I'm sure of it. So we started talking. And he told me, he said, I know it's a sin. I know this nonsense about gays getting married is nonsense. I know that's all wrong. But he said, I'm caught. I'm trapped. And there's nobody I can talk to. I can't talk to my dad. My mom will talk to me a little bit. I said, well, I think the Lord sent me here today to talk to you. So let's talk. So we talked. And I told him, I believe he's the Lord's. I believe he got entangled and drug away. He wants to come back. He said, I don't know how to come back. But I shared with him the gospel again that he knew, had heard from his parents, his dad, his mother. From probably birth. And I told him this. I said, the world's telling you you're a homosexual. To be proud of it. The devil's telling you you're a homosexual. You can't do anything about it. You're born that way. God made you like that. Maybe even some people who claim to be Christians hate you and despise you and call you names. But if you're the Lord's, God doesn't call you that. He doesn't like your sin. You said you know it. You know it's sin. But you can come back. You can repent. Turn from your wicked ways. And there's not anything that you're captured by that the Lord cannot deliver you from. And it's the truth. The Lord looks down on that man who's caught in sin and he as a believer and looks at him and says, you're my child, you're my son. I forgave you of all that. I died for those sins. Now, he would say, the very message that Jim gave today, this is where I want you to come out from that. You don't have to stay there. You know, sin, one of the things that happens to kids in Christian homes, you're told to how to behave, and your parents have their rules, and you learn about the Lord Jesus, you learn about right and wrong, all of those kinds of things in your life. And because you don't know the Lord as your Savior yet, at some point, perhaps, you can't keep those rules anymore. So what do you do next? You hide your sins. And you lie about your sins. Now, some parents are so strict and so hard, I want to turn to them and say, you still can't keep those rules. Why don't you mix a little grace with what you're doing with your kids? But the Lord can deliver from sin. And the older you get, people touch sin. They reach out and touch it, sample it. Draw back. Well, nothing really too bad happened. But when you reach into the darkness, maybe once, maybe twice, there's going to be a moment where the darkness grabs you. And it'll be like a Hollywood horror film where you're drug into the darkness. And you don't know when you're coming out or if you ever will. You talk to anybody here who was saved later in their life, or even a Christian who got away from the Lord, and they'll tell you that sin can take you places. It'll take you places you never thought you would go. It'll take you further than you wanted to go. It'll take you deeper than you ever thought. It can destroy your life. As our brother said, there are some things that will haunt you all the rest of your days. But the Lord can deliver you from your sins. And there is a place of repentance. So when I preach the gospel to a lot of Christian people with kids in it that have grown up in Christian homes, it's kind of, I want some of you who may be caught in some sin to repent and turn from it, that know the Lord. And maybe some are some person who's caught in some sin and they're not the Lord's. You can be caught in sin at a young age to just trust the Lord Jesus and come all the way in. When you lay on your pillow at night tonight, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior. Just before I got saved, my dad had spanked me for some stupid thing I did Sunday night after a gospel meeting, and he sent me to my bed crying. And then he came in, as he often did after disciplining us, and he said, he was crying, my dad. He said, your mother and I don't know that you know the Lord as your Savior. And if you die in your sins, you'll go into a lost eternity. And he walked out of the room and shut the light off. I want you to think about that tonight when you go to bed. If you know the Lord, you can lay there and say, hallelujah, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. If you don't, trust him tonight. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, I trust you to do what you said you'd do. Save me. Wash away my sins. Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. That guy didn't know what he was getting, but he got it all. So, if you know where you are, maybe you can be honest with yourself and say, I know I'm lost. Then be honest. Tell the Lord Jesus, I know I'm lost. I want to be saved. Save me. He will do what he said. Well, I believe in preaching the gospel till I'm done. And I'm done. If I could grab you by the arm and drag you in, I'd do it. But I can't. You know, it comes close in the gospels where it says, compel them to come in. Come. Come in. when the Lord Jesus invites you to come. Hear his voice. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. People think, well, that's maybe for older sinners that are heavy laden in the gospel. You know what? There's a lot of young people that are pretty distressed, and there's a lot of suicides in very young ages now in our country because they're so distressed and disappointed and disillusioned. So hear it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's a rest in his bosom. And you can sing that song. There is a name that sounds like music to our ear. Sweetest name on earth. Jesus.